That worship was wonderful, wasn't it? Sheesh. It's just amazing what Jesus has done for us. We get to know him, and he has cleansed us. You know, when I was growing up, we'd go elk hunting in November, and you live in a tent for 5 to 7 days without a shower. And when you come out of there, you're hairier and smellier, and you get in that shower. And man, does it feel good to be clean. You know, the blood of Jesus is cleansing us all the time on the inside. And every time that we sin, we can just take that right to him and his blood cleanses it. It's kind of like being at the beach. You know, those waves are coming in all day, all night, every day, every night, constantly. Constantly cleansing the shore. And that's what the blood of Jesus is doing for us. All the time, washing me, clean. Isn't that amazing? It's to feel clean on the inside or to be clean is a wonderful thing. And if we don't, you know, a lot of people don't know that they are sinners because sin has gotten all hazy and gray. But if we will own it, we can get rid of it because of what Jesus has done. And that's not what I'm talking about today, but it's just so wonderful to be clean. And I just want to invite any of you, if you have not owned your lifestyle of going the wrong direction and said, Jesus, I turn toward you. I want what you have. There's no one in the world who would give their life for me but you. You've done it, and now I align my life with you. Let your blood cleanse me. I want to be clean on the inside like I'm clean on the outside. He will do that for you, and you can enter a brand new relationship with the King of the universe, where he then talks with you, which is what we're going to talk about. And encourage anyone and everyone to know Jesus. If you don't know him, today's your day. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. So if you're wondering if it's today for you, it is. That question is answered. Today is the day of salvation. Isn't that amazing? You can be saved today and forever. Saved from the wrath of things to come. Forever the Lord's. Okay. Lord, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for what you've given to us. Thank you for these wonderful people. Thank you, Lord, for a taste of heaven this morning, of getting to worship you and to bless and blast your name and to thank you, Lord. Thank you today for this family, for this body, for these people. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for being here. I ask that you'd speak and communicate. Help us, Lord, today to understand you, to understand the ways that you speak, to understand the ways that you communicate. Help us to know you, Lord. And the Lord, I ask that you'd reveal yourself to us more and more today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So as Josh mentioned, we have been talking about some of the ways that God speaks, some of the ways, because there are thousands of ways. And what I'm really trying to do is just help us realize and understand, and maybe put to words some ways that God has already been speaking to you throughout your life, particularly once you became born again, you became a child of God and God's been speaking to you. But a lot of times we haven't always understood the ways that he's talking to us, and we thought it was just me or just nothing, or the enemy, or whatever. And so part of this Christian life is identifying the ways that God is speaking to me. And all of a sudden, life is an adventure, and then we can hear him in so many different ways. Every single day, it's something new, something fresh, something different, because God is alive. And then as we are hearing him, and as we're reading about him, and reading about his ways, it's these amazing things are going on. We are interacting with the supernatural, interacting with God, interacting with heaven, and then we have things to give away. We have things to give to other people because God talks to us a lot for others because he so loves people. He loves you, he loves me, and he uses others to communicate to us the things that are in his heart. So just a reminder, God is speaking to you. John 10:27 says that. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Those are the words of Jesus. That's in red. My sheep hear my voice. They do. You do. And you know him. He knows you. And life is about relationship with God. Wow. Life is about relationship with God, loving Him and then loving other people. Very simple, but very powerful. So you and I get to have a relationship with God. I know we know that, but that we need to know that. Today is about getting to know you, Lord. It's about living with you and in you, learning about you. And just as when there's something real, like a real $100 bill, there are going to be counterfeits of that. There will be fake things that will look a little bit like the reality. And the enemy is the counterfeiter. He's the one who twists things, changes things, tries to make us believe something that's not true. Here's one of them, one of those lies, is that God doesn't speak to you personally anymore. He only uses the word. That the Holy Spirit quit talking after the first century and now it's just the Bible that He gave us. I want to say to you that that is absolutely not scriptural. That's like having love letters and then you get married and then you never talk to one another other than through letters from there on out. That's ridiculous. That's crazy. It's the same thing. When you're born again, it's not just the love letter. It's God Himself speaking to each of us in so many different ways, including His love letters, including the Word. So the enemy wants us to believe that God isn't talking. So if we then believe that, then we're not paying attention to what He is saying. We're going to miss a whole lot. Wow, a ton. So we're going to get rid of that lie all the way. And then the enemy likes to counterfeit things. And the devil does talk as well. He's a yapper, actually. With fear and anxiety, things that are not true. And then he communicates to his followers, what I'm going to say, spirit mediums and people who are psychics and those type of things. They are getting information in a supernatural way, but it's from the wrong realm, what I would call the second heaven revelation, instead of third heaven revelation, which is the realm of God and His Spirit and the angels. The enemy talks and he's got information, but it's usually fear-based and lies, because who he is, he's the father of lies. I'd like to have that as your designation. The father of lies. That's who the devil is. So when he's speaking to people, he's lying. So when a fear comes to you, guess what? It's a lie. Right? Fear is actually false evidence appearing real. Right? There's the acronym of fear. False evidence appearing real. Okay. The reality is God is love, and He communicates with you and I to encourage us, to guide us, to build us up, to build others up, to direct us, to lead us, to comfort us, to reveal His love to other people. He's talking to us in many ways for many reasons. So today, I want to talk about part three, and I apologize just right off the bat that I've got at least 3 hours of things to say and 30 minutes to say it. So here we go. I'm going to jump around, and it really is condensed. This is not exhaustive at all. There are three different elements of God speaking to us. The first one is revelation. It's what you see, it's what you hear, it's what you perceive. It's a vision that you have, it's something that you feel, the ways that we've been talking about the last couple of weeks. That's revelation. The second part of hearing from God is not just revelation, but it's interpretation. What does this mean that you are saying, that I'm seeing, that I'm hearing, that I'm feeling? What does it mean? Interpretation. So essential. And then the third part is application. How do I apply it? Is it for me? Is it for someone else? And then how do I say that? How do I apply it if it's for someone else? How do I apply it for me to me if it's for me? So these are the three parts. We've been talking about revelation the last 2 weeks. Today, I'm going to try and talk some about interpretation and application. So here we go. I used to be in the CIA, for real. I was there for 5.5 years, from 1990 to 1995. I was in the Office of Communications. I lived overseas, traveled around the world, and had a secret life, pseudonym, all that stuff. And what I did, in part, I won't give you any of the classified information, but what I did with communications is we would take information that we had, that we learned, that we gathered, and my job was to transmit that information somewhere else in the world, whether it's Washington, D.C. or wherever, whether the president gets it or whatever. So to do that, we had this special equipment. We would write things, I would write things, type things, or scan things, and then it would go through encryption. You'd go through an encryptor, and it would jumble all that stuff up. Then it would send the jumbled up message somewhere, wherever you're sending it. On that end, they had a decryption equipment that would, you know, bring it back into something where you could read, decipher it. And what made that work is something called, what we called, a key. And both ends have to have the same key. If you have the same key on both sides, and it changes every day. The key changed every day. So if you had yesterday's key, all you would see or read would be something that would be garbled. You had to have something fresh. You had to have the fresh key for that day to receive and understand what was being transmitted. That's the way it worked. Now, obviously, God doesn't have encryption equipment that he sends everything through, but he is this living, relational Father, creator of everything, and the ways that he speaks are so varied that it's not always just straightforward, this is what I'm saying and this is what I mean. We talked last week about he speaks much more like a woman communicates. That's going to be varied and not the same every single day, because women came from God and communication came from God through them. And so we have to daily be related to, aligned with God. That's the A key. Because it might, something that God says to you one day might mean something different the next day. And so it's about relationship. Everything goes back to relationship with him, which is a wonderful thing. And God speaks in numerous ways, not to hide things from us, but for us. He uses what would seem like dark things or confusing things or garbled things, not to hide them from us, but for us, for those who seek him. He promises that those who seek him will find him. He promises, and it's just like a father with kids. I mean, I've said this many times. I used to, when I'd go on trips, I'd come home and I would buy little things for my kids, stick them in my bag or my pockets. And I'm wanting to know, do they want what I have? So I hide them. I hide those things. I want them to go through my bag. I want them to try and get in my pocket and try and find, what did he get for us today on that trip? I'm wanting them to want what I have. And there's something about that that does something for me that's just wonderful. Now, where did I get that? I think I got that from God. Because God is that way. He hides things for us, not from us, for us to find, for us to figure out, for us to understand. But there has to be this seeking. There has to be this paying attention, this desiring. Lord, I see this. What does that mean? What does that mean? Asking God questions is one of the greatest things in your Christian life. Because he is a communicator. But oftentimes, he doesn't respond until you ask. There's scriptures about that, right? You have not because you ask not. We need to ask. When you see something, when you feel something, when you wonder, boy, I wonder if that's something. Ask. Lord, is that you? Are you saying something? Is this you? Is what I see you? What does that mean? He is about relationship. He is about relationship. Every day, I'm going to say, one of the most alive parts of my relationship with God comes from this very thing right there. I do this every, I would say nearly every day, if not every day. I do it several times today and yesterday already. Was I ask him questions. What does that mean? Explain that to me. Help me understand. Show me. Is that you? If we live a lifestyle of that, you're going to feel, hear, see things that answer those questions. And that's part of interpreting the things that he is saying, is taking it to the next level and then saying, what does that mean, Lord? What does that mean? I'm not just going to see something and assume something, which is one of the keys to misunderstanding and interpreting things wrongly in what God is saying when we assume something. And I'm jumping ahead. I used to live in Asia. I've been to Africa many, many, many times and in different countries in Asia. And it's interesting to me, I had this vehicle when I was in Asia, and of course they drive on the other side of the road, steering wheels on the other side. You shift with your left hand, which was a little bit weird. Anywhere where there was a British, where they colonized, they're going to drive on the wrong side of the road. But I remember first getting there, I get this vehicle, and everything is new. You know, I'm shifting with my left hand, all of that. And on two-lane roads, crowded, lots of people, I'm looking to pass someone. Of course, you pass on the left instead of the other way around from here, whatever it is now. Anyway, but when you're looking to pass someone on a two-lane road and someone's coming the other way, here we have this society that's different. When we flash our lights, it's to be kind to someone, like let someone in front of us. There, if someone flashes their lights at you, that means get the heck out of my way because I'm coming through. Completely different interpretation to the exact same thing that would be done here. 180 degrees out. If you miss that interpretation and you want to pass someone and you see them on the other, their way down there and they flash their lights, oh, great. You pull out, there's trouble. There's trouble. There can be head-on collisions because you misinterpreted what the signal was based on the culture. So we need to understand the things that God is saying based on his culture and his communication with us. I remember I lead a ministry, it's a humanitarian ministry called Hydrating Humanity. In the very beginning of that, it started through a water bottle. I was holding a water bottle in my hand one evening in 2002, and I felt like the Lord is speaking to me about something, but I don't understand it. I didn't understand it. It actually took me about 9 months to get the interpretation. I kept asking, what is it? And I knew that he was saying something to me. I felt it. So I read every letter on that bottle. And it was a LeBlu bottle, happened to be. And I lived in south of Charlotte. But it was a LeBlu bottle. And LeBlu, as you may know, is bottled here in Advance, as they would say, not Advance, but Advance. It's got to add syllable. So I was so certain that God was speaking to me that we put our house for sale to move to the location where this place is bottled. My interpretation was that God wanted me to move to this place. This is before we had a church here, or we just had started a church here. And so put the house for sale, it didn't sell. Over time, as I kept asking God, I felt like then he said, no, it's not to move there, at least yet. It's to advance, move forward with a vision I've given you. That was the interpretation. It was actually a two-step interpretation. One was to step forward with what I've given you in your heart, related to water, right? Guess what, though? 13 years later, our family moved to Advance, North Carolina, where we still live. So that was a two-step interpretation with 13 years separating the steps. See, you can never have a system to figure out God. That is impossible. And if you have one, it's wrong. You can never have a system, plug that in like a computer and say, God says this and that means that. If you do that, you'll miss him because he's about relationship. He's about relationship. And one thing one day might mean something different the next day or 13 years later. So it's about staying in sync with him on a daily basis. And that's a great thing because he's alive. Okay. So some of these keys to understanding some of the ways that God speaks. First one, knowing God, asking him questions, staying in relationship with him. Second one, there is no system. Just mentioned that. Third one, interpretation is more of an art than it is a science. Interpretation, understanding the things that God is saying, is much more of an art, which is by feel, than it is a science, than by computation. I just figuring things out. Yeah, this is exactly what that means. It's more caught than it is taught. That's the way God has chosen to be, though he is the most brilliant scientist and mathematician of all time. He's chosen to use relationship to communicate with us, so we got to stay close to him. Another key is no false filters. We don't want to have a filter that God always speaks a certain way. It's a little bit like a system, but I'll give you an example. There are some people, and this isn't necessarily a bad thing, but their life, I'll use just one example, is their life is about ministering to, praying for the nation of Israel. Okay, there's some people that have that. Well, that is great if that is a mission and a calling for you, but here's what you don't want to do is whenever you're hearing things from God, seeing pictures or whatever, reading his word, you don't want to put everything through the filter of Israel because you'll miss some things. Or you don't want to put it through the filter of anything. If you've been wounded in a certain way or you have a heart for a certain type of mission, yeah, if you're an evangelist, everything that you receive doesn't mean evangelism every single time. It may oftentimes. So I don't want to have a filter that interprets everything that I see, feel, hear from God. Does that make sense? Are you guys awake still? Oh, yeah. Okay. And then here's another one. We don't want to assume things. I'll give you an example where I mess this up. Because understanding what not to do sometimes is as important as understanding what to do, right? So here's what you don't do. I was ministering at, it was in a conference on hearing God's voice one time in New York. And we were praying and up on the stage asking God for words for people sitting out there. And I had this vision for a person that was sitting in an upper deck. And the vision that I saw was this, like a sunset way back there, and there was a chain coming from that place. And there was this woman was standing like facing me, the sunset was behind her, and that chain linked all the way from the back, like the sunset, to her shoulder. And on her shoulder was this vest. She was wearing a vest, and the chain was linked to the vest. So I saw this vision. I did not ask God what the interpretation was. I assumed, knowing that chains are bad, like slavery and binding, that this was a bad thing. And this vest must have been something that was, you know, constrictive or something like that. So I just said, ma'am, I see this thing. I didn't tell her what I saw. But I feel like something has bound you from the past and is holding you back from what God has for you. And as I'm saying it, I can feel in my spirit, that's wrong. Now, that's a bad place to be. I'm speaking something, I saw a vision. I knew the vision was from God. I didn't ask for the interpretation. I assumed it because I assumed chains are bad. Okay? I began speaking it out. I feel the Holy Spirit saying, that's not what I'm saying. So I said, I'm sorry, I don't think that's right. Please see me after the service. And she came up to me. And my friend who was with me, or I was with him actually on this trip, said, Matt, what did you see? I said, well, I explained what I saw. And he said, that's not a bad chain. That's a link to her past, to her heritage. And the vest isn't a bad thing. That's a mantle. Now, that's a completely different interpretation for the same vision. So here's a link from her past, her heritage, that's come all the way to who she is right now, and she's carrying something that's a mantle. Now, even as I say this, do you feel that? You can feel, and guess what? So we asked her, you know, what? Tell us about your family heritage. Well, my father was a pastor, my grandfather was a pastor, my great-grandfather was a pastor. So there was a spiritual connection, a link, which I saw a chain, that was a link to something she was carrying in the spirit of being in ministry. Now, that is an entirely different thing from being bound by something in your past, right? But since there's no system of interpretation, we need to rely on what God, Lord, what are you saying? Is this a chain that binds or is this a link that bring something beautiful. And it's like that throughout the scriptures. It's interesting. I'm going to jump around here a little bit. In the scripture, you look at a lion. What does a lion represent in the Bible? What? The lion of the tribe of Judah. Who's that? Jesus. What else does a lion represent? The thief goes about like a lion seeking someone to devour. So a lion in the scripture, this is from the Bible, both speaks of Jesus and the devil. So if you see something, if you feel something, you can't assume that it's always Jesus, or you can't assume a lion's always bad either, right? Same with, how about this, a snake. A snake in the scriptures, right? We know as being from the enemy, from the garden, and then later on, then you've got the Messiah, you know, putting the crushing with his heel on the enemy. Well, snake also in the Old Testament during the Exodus. Remember when they put the snake up on the pole and everyone who looked at it got healed, and it spoke of the cross and Jesus being on the cross many years later. So Jesus then represents a snake in that sense, and he often, a snake is the enemy. So again, there's no system. It's, Lord, what are you saying with this thing that I see right now? And then we have the scripture. Boy, here's what the Bible says. 2 Peter 1:19, verse 21 through 21. We also have the prophetic word made more sure, which you will do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So any interpretation that we get that contradicts the scriptures must be judged as inaccurate. So we use the word to, if an interpretation that we have is exact opposite of what the scripture says, we throw out my interpretation. We're going by what the word says. So we need to filter what we receive by the word. That is a good filter. What does the word say? And then we should never establish doctrine based on what we are seeing, feeling, hearing. We establish doctrine by what the Bible says, right? Okay, let me just skip a bunch of stuff. There are so many different symbols in the scriptures that can be interpretations to what we're seeing, feeling, hearing. And the list is long, from sheep, wheat, lamb, bellies, water, spirit, dove. I mean, all kinds of different things. You can go to the scriptures, say, is this what you mean in this case, Lord? Just ask him those questions. Numbers mean a lot of different things. I was reading Nehemiah yesterday and saw that in 52 days, the walls were built by a handful of people that were sleeping out under the stars with a sword on their side while they're building walls. In 52 days, they build miles of wall, thick, tall, around walls. It was a supernatural thing. 52 can speak of God's supernatural involvement. How many of you are 52 and you don't have to raise your hand? It's going to be a year of supernatural building for you. 52 can relate to something like that. And there's contemporary symbolism. Jesus used that a lot, by the way. When Jesus is telling stories and his parables, he's using common things in their lives that represent spiritual realities. Contemporary symbolism. You might see a car or a motorcycle or a bus or an airplane in a dream or a vision that can speak of different things. Sometimes a motorcycle can speak of like ministry that's just one-on-one, because there's one person on a motorcycle. Well, in Africa, there's seven. But most of the time, there's like one person on a motorcycle. Speak of ministering, you know, one-on-one and going places that other vehicles can't go. A bus could speak of a church because there's many people on a bus, or a group or a school or something like that. So anyway, lots of contemporary interpretations. But again, it's, what are you saying, Lord, in this? I see this, but what do you mean right now? I was speaking with someone here last week who, when we had the ministry time, they saw a wall. Now, a wall can mean many things. It can mean a place where you don't go past this. It's a boundary. But you know what? Sometimes it can mean I need to get through this thing, right? David said, I can leap over a wall. So again, we have to ask the Lord, what are you saying, Lord, in this instance? And it goes back to that relationship with him. Okay. Oh boy, God speaks to us in dreams too, so many times. But most dreams, I'm going to say, are not literal. There's a figurative element to it, and again, we need to ask the Lord, but boy, does God use them. Sometimes they are literal a bit as well, or it's a mix. I remember this dream that I had about a friend who was about to retire. And in the dream, he was walking up these steps to a platform where then it's, to me, it spoke of retirement at the end once I woke up. But in the dream, it was very real. He's walking up this platform, and as he was on the last step to the top, there was a hole in the back of the step, and a poisonous snake came out of that hole and bit him in the leg. Weird dream. I woke up, I said, Lord, what is this? I felt like it was from the Lord. What does this mean? I don't understand it. Well, the snake, the kind of snake that it was, spoke to me about something of the profession that this person was in. And I asked the Lord for interpretation, felt like I had something, and it was a warning during this last step before they retired. So I called this person, talking to him on the phone, and as I'm explaining this, I'm driving the car, all my attention is drawn to a street sign. And the street sign, I'll tell you, the name was Cox Road, C-O-X Road. As I read that, I was talking to him, explaining the dream, and remembered that the person who was buying the business as he was about to retire, his last name was Cox. Well, what happened right before the last step was a snake came out and bit him. I said, I feel like there's a warning here about the person you're trying to sell the business to. Something's not right. Well, he started digging in and found out this person had been stealing from him tens of thousands of dollars. And it was a snake trying to bite him and poison right before he was trying to retire. So interesting. So there was a warning, but everything that God does is redemptive. Everything he does is redemptive, and it's also oftentimes proactive. So there are things that the Lord will show us, and it's not always that this is happening right now or that this will happen no matter what, especially if it's a negative thing. But it's often that God is showing us things so that situation can be changed. He shows us things so we can pray into it or we can take action and change the course so something bad doesn't happen. The enemy is the opposite. When there's psychic information or whatever, it's that this horrible thing is going to happen. There's no way around it. This is going to happen to you. That is not how God works. God gives us things and shows us things so we can pray and change them. So that we can speak, so we can act, and things can change. You see that throughout the scriptures. I don't have time to go into a lot of that. So, let me shift just, so there are many ways, but primarily through relationship, we interpret the things that God is saying to us. Now, there's a story about a man who had a dream one night, and he felt as though it was a nightmare. It tormented him a little bit. He woke up, he called his pastor actually and said, I had this nightmare last night. Can I tell you about it? And you can help me with the interpretation. He said, sure. He said, tell me your dream. He said, well, in the dream, there was this huge bowl of soup. It was like a 6 foot across bowl, tall bowl full of hot, steamy soup. And he said, in the dream, we were starving. We were so hungry. But all the spoons were 6 feet long. He said, and we weren't strong enough to get the spoon and to get soup in it and to spin it around. We couldn't spin it around, so we had the soup. We couldn't get it with our hands, but we couldn't drink it. And he said, it was like a nightmare. And the pastor said to him, you know what? That's a wrong interpretation. That's actually a picture of the kingdom. Because that spoon is not for you. As people are standing around this bowl that's 6 feet long, your big spoon is meant to get dipped and to feed the person on the other side. Then that person on the other side does the same thing with their spoon and they feed you. It's a picture of the kingdom. And that is
really true related to God speaking to us. The Holy Spirit living inside of you, Him communicating with us. Oftentimes, the soup is for us, but I'm going to say more than not, it's for someone else. The Holy Spirit living inside of you is to give you things, words, visions, encouragements to give away, to feed someone else with. And as we feed other people, we get fed. It's a beautiful thing, honestly. 1 Corinthians 14:31 says, you can all prophesy. Now, when you say the word prophesy, that doesn't mean speaking future events every time. 1 Corinthians 14:3 says that prophecy, let's just read it here. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3 says this, but the one who prophesies speaks to men for edification, exhortation, and consolation, to encourage, build up, and edify. Another translation. Encourage, build up, edify. Prophecy primarily is to build people up, to encourage them, to comfort. That's what it's like hot soup. It's encouraging, it comforts, builds up. And we can all do this. We can all communicate to other people things that God is saying to us. And it is a wonderful thing. A couple of things with that, when we communicate things to people, if we receive something, we want to make sure that we understand our authority as we're saying these things. Some people love to use authority to put people down or to make themselves seem large. And that's not what prophecy is for. That's not what hearing from God for others is for. It's to build people up. And so I need to understand my authority. My authority is to, well, let me say it this way. The Apostle Paul, in several verses, but 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, and 1 Corinthians 9:2 says that he has a sphere of authority that he operates in. And he even said, I'm not an apostle to everyone. How about that one? He said, but I'm an apostle to you, he was writing to the Corinthians, because I planted you. So Paul understood he had a sphere of authority to live in. So words of correction and rebuke, those type of things, along with encouragement, was for those that he was responsible for. This is a super important thing. If you can remember this your whole life, authority is related to responsibility. Our authority, your authority, is related to your responsibility. Where you have responsibility, you have authority. Over your children, whatever sphere of influence that you have. If you're a boss, you got people working under you, there's authority there. If you have children, you have authority there. But I don't have authority where those aren't my children, or they don't work for me, right? I've got a great neighbor. Josh is my neighbor, actually. He was up here. If my kids were misbehaving in my yard and Josh came over and spanked them, right? Now, I could give him permission to do that, and that'd be great. But if I didn't, and we didn't have that understanding, and he just decided, well, I don't like the way they're behaving, so I'm coming in there to fix that, then I would have an issue with Josh, right? And the Lord sees it the same way. Correction is for those with authority who have responsibility to do that. It's not for anybody just to correct anybody. That's not what this is about. We're there to encourage, build up, edify. Unless you have responsibility for that person, there may additionally be some correction or rebuke that may come with it. That's how God has set this up. I made a mess, about got kicked out of a church because I didn't understand authority is related to responsibility. I thought authority was related to gifting and insight or skill. Now, if you think authority is related to a gifting, then you can make a big mess because you can see things that you're not supposed to fix, and you can go in and try and fix them and get in trouble like I did and get in, big, big trouble. Anyway, I won't go through much more of that. But here's what we do have authority over, the enemy. Every believer from the day they met Jesus has authority over the enemy. Do you realize that? You can know Jesus for one day, and you have authority over him. The Bible's clear with that. Jesus has given us authority over the enemy, but not over people unless we have responsibility in certain areas. So as we receive things and ask God what this means, we want to make sure that as we communicate to other people that we do it in a spirit of love. You know, some of the people who had the best interpretive abilities in the Bible were people like Daniel and Joseph. And it's interesting with them, the way that they loved people and the way that they also said this, Genesis 40 verse 8 says this, interpretations belong to God. But what? Look what God entrusted both of these guys with. Think of Daniel for a second. Daniel reads the book of Jeremiah, sees that his nation has sinned, and he then steps up and says, we have sinned, Lord. And he takes responsibility for the sin of a whole people and asks forgiveness. And then when the king throws him in the lion's den for doing everything right, what does he do when the king comes to him the next morning, everything's okay? His first words, long live the king. He's in a lion's den, the guy who threw him in there. What about that heart? That heart is redemptive, and it's for the people that God has put in leadership. Plus, he knew the king's heart was for him. But he didn't have an angry, bitter heart. He had a heart of love, respect, and honor, and God continued to pile on him revelation, even for the distant future, for our days and beyond us. There's something about having a heart for God and for people where God can entrust us with greater revelation, greater things to give away to people. I love that. So we want to speak in love, honor those in authority, and take a moment to listen. What are you saying? What does this mean? I'm seeing this. I didn't realize that you were speaking to me this way, but I now see that this could be you. Speak, Lord. I'm listening. What are you saying? And then whatever he gives you, if it's not encouraging, building up, edifying, you have no responsibility for them, then you don't want to correct, try and fix them. You would encourage them. And so sometimes that's, man, if you saw something that was real fearful, you say, God is helping you get through fear. It's not, you're living by fear. Stop that. What you see then needs to be interpreted in a way that's encouraging and uplifting and building. And it's a powerful thing when we can do that. How about we do this? Last week, I had everybody stand. I'm not going to have you do that. Had you stand next to someone you didn't know, and then you asked God for a word of encouragement of some kind. You got that, and there were people throughout this room. It was really wonderful to watch and see. I've heard a couple of the stories that were really amazing, just God speaking things that were clear. Let's do this again, but in a different way. See if you can stay seated, and let's just ask the Lord to speak to us for someone in the room. But we don't know who it is yet. Okay, let's just ask the Lord for a moment. Just cleanse our mind, our emotions, all of those things, and give God our senses, our mind, our heart, our smell, our touch. Father, we just ask you right now, by your Spirit, ask that you'd speak, give us something encouraging to give away. You said you'd give us as much bread as is needed to give to a friend. So we're asking for something from you right now, Lord. Ask you give us a word, a scripture, a picture, a feel, a vision. No dreams right now, though, Lord. Ask that you'd speak to us. Let's just wait a moment. Often it's the very first thing you see or feel. If you can maybe write it down or just remember it, and then ask him, what does this mean? What does this mean? If you see something you don't understand, or even if you do, just say, Lord, help me understand what this means right now, in this moment. And then maybe you get a scripture with it, or you have a feel as to what this refers to. Okay. Did everybody get something? At least maybe you have a picture, maybe you had a thought, a scripture, a word. Could be just one word. Could be a sentence, a phrase. Maybe you saw something. Okay, here's who the person we're going to give this to. It's for yourself. So whatever you got is for you. Now think about it for a minute. How could that be applied to your life? Hopefully it was something encouraging. See, you just got a word for yourself now. You can do that. Say, Lord, would you speak to me for me? And that time you didn't know who it was for, but that word was for you. So I'm curious, how many of you feel like that fits something going on in your life, whatever you got? And you just got surprised that God would do that. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, you guys are quiet today. It's great stuff. Now this life that we've been given, we can hear from God. Sometimes it's for ourselves. Oftentimes it's for other people. He's leading us, guiding us, directing us. And we could talk about, you know, being led in your business or whatever else as well, in your family life. He will do that. He will lead us. He will guide us. And he'll use other people, just like everyone in here, to speak these encouraging, guiding, directing words for us as well. And he has this for us. I love it. Now, here's something else is that we have. Sarah, could you come on up? Wherever you are. We have, and grab the mic from Josh, if it's around the front row, maybe. No, come on up. That's all right. Sarah Wingate. Yeah, we can cheer for her for a second. Sarah is over our, what we call prophetic teams, which are basically just teams of people who are doing what we did last week and a little bit like we just did just now, who are just asking God for encouraging things to give away to someone else. And she leads these teams. And if you have any desire to be on one of these teams, to be one of these people who are hearing things from God and giving them to other people, she's going to tell you how to do that. Sorry.
Good morning. Well, I just wanted to give that invitation this morning. If God has been stirring in your heart, as Matt has been speaking the past couple weeks, and you just feel the stirring of, man, I would love to practice that. I would love to find out more about that, how that really looks in application in everyday life, and as well as serving our body. We have teams every single Sunday where people just come to receive that encouragement, to really see what the Lord's heart is for them. And it's just this beautiful space. And I was thinking the past few days, a scripture that was stirring in my heart is from Luke, where the Lord is instructing his disciples for ministry, and he says, do not fear, little flock, for it's the Father's great pleasure, his delight in giving you the kingdom. And that is just such the Lord's heart, especially with the prophetic and my own journey of seeing, wow, if I step past fear, it is the Father's delight to give the kingdom in every space of our lives. But the prophetic, we really get to practice that very practically and see him show up again and again and again. He always shows up. So if that stirs your heart, whether you have never given a prophetic word for anybody, whether last Sunday was your very first time, or if you have been practicing this and just really want more application, more practice, and to be in a team where we're all doing it together and we're all learning together, there is going to be a meet and greet right after service in the well, and you can use that door right over there to enter, and I would love to meet with you, receive your contact information, and just share a little bit more about those teams. So thank you.
Thank you, Sarah. And those teams are a blast, I'm going to tell you. There is something so fun when you hear something and it is encouraging, you get to give it away. It is, it's like a contagious type thing. You want to do that again, and you want to encourage people. And God gave us this ministry of prophesying, speaking encouragement to build other people up. Wow. There we go. That's the end. So we are also going to have prophetic teams that are actually functioning right now too. So if you'd like to sign up to be on one of those, you can do that at the end of the service in the family room. We also have ministry up here too. If you'd like to receive Jesus, if you'd like prayer for healing, if you want to get baptized in the Holy Spirit, whatever is on your heart you need prayer for, we have teams up here to pray for you. All right, let me pray for you right now as well. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for communicating to us. Thank you for helping us interpret what you're saying. And thank you that we get to seek you and know you and find you and have these lives where the supernatural is flowing through us. We love you, Lord. I ask that you continue to speak to us this week. Use us this week. Use us, Lord, to impact people's lives, to share hope. Lord, we ask that you'd give us names of people. We ask that you'd give us information, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, words of understanding for people. Lord, may your gospel come alive on the inside of us as we share it in various ways. We love you. We give ourselves to you, Lord, and thank you, Father, for every single one of these people here. Bless them. May they have incredible weeks this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great one.